Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So call it a step forward, innovatively speaking, or call it a step back, depending on your political orientation. But Michigan is now officially the 24th state to enact so-called right-to-work legislation. Republican Governor Rick Snyder signed a bill into law yesterday following a vote by the Michigan House, which passed the measure by a vote of 58 to 52. The right-to-work law, according to labor leaders, would significantly decrease the power of organized labor in a state that's long been a symbol of labor in America. Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers Union, called the move a blatant attack from the right.
Well, what's really at stake is a vision for America, because the right-wing leadership of this party is really trying to suppress democracy, suppress workers' rights, suppress collective bargaining. They're attacking women's reproductive rights in this lame duck session. They're attacking the public school system in this lame duck session. So it's really about what agenda do you believe for America?
That was Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers Union, who joined us on the program yesterday. Labor historian Joseph Slater, a professor of law and values at the University of Toledo, says the momentum to shrink union power and participation in politics has accelerated in the last decade, and that in his view, employers have gained the upper hand in their ability to influence politics and to suppress labor organizing.
Employers routinely run multi-million dollar anti-union campaigns at the first hint of an organizing process. The penalties for violating the National Labor Relations Act, for firing people, for supporting unions are very light, and it's fairly clear that a number of employers intentionally violate the law and fire union supporters during organizing campaigns. Something like one out of three employers faced with a union organizing campaign illegally fires workers. So part of the problem is facing fairly stiff opposition.
You would have thought that the Citizens United transformation that drove so much money into this campaign would have created a sense that it's sort of open season on political participation. But still, you get this rhetoric that union participation in politics is somehow fundamentally different and possibly illegitimate compared with corporate participation in politics. The money equals speech debate really hasn't favored the unions, and I would have thought that it would have.
I think that's an excellent point. If you compare the rules governing how unions can collect and spend money with the rules governing how corporations can collect and spend money, especially after Citizens United, there is a significant difference. Even in states which are not right-to-work states, unions cannot charge members of collective bargaining units over their objection for monies that they spend on politics. You contrast that with corporations who get shareholder and other income and do not give objectors the rights to object to their money being used on political causes. So unions are being treated worse than corporations in this regard. And we should not lose sight of the fact that this is a partisan issue, that right to work does not particularly help the economies of the states with the highest poverty rates. Eight of them are right to work states. This is an attempt by Republicans to harm a supporter of the Democratic Party, which is unions by and large. And I agree with President Obama when he said, and this is a quote, these so-called right-to-work laws, they don't have to do with economics, they have to do with politics.
Joseph Slater, professor of law and values at the University of Toledo in Toledo, Ohio. Thanks, professor.
Thanks very much.
Joining us now is Michigan House Republican Representative Rick Olson. Representative Olson, you voted for the measure in the House yesterday, yes?
I voted for the freedom to work measures, yes.
All right. What do you think of what Professor Slater said, that there no longer is a level playing field between unions trying to have political influence and employers trying to have political influence?
Well, first of all, I would say that the impact or the intent of the two laws that we just enacted yesterday did not have that intent in mind to even address that issue. The measures that we enacted allow the unions to continue to make their case for representing the workers and negotiating with employers and doing what they will in the political arena. But what we were focused on is the employees' ability to choose to join or not to join a union as they so chose.
Isn't it the case that federal law protects workers who don't want to join a union as long as they agree to not hold on to union negotiated benefits?
Federal law still remains in effect. What we did yesterday had nothing to do with federal law, but we wanted the state to join the other 23 states that were freedom to work states. And so we've now become the 24th freedom to work state. What most of us ran on 2 years ago was we needed to create a better business environment to create jobs in Michigan. And this is one piece of that puzzle. So that's what we've been doing. We're trying to set the environment for the economy, but more fundamentally, the freedom of choice of the worker.
What do you make of the president's claim when he was in the state this week that right-to-work laws don't have anything to do with the economics of the state, improving the business climate, that in fact they mostly have to do with politics and denying union influence and support for the Democratic Party?
Well, considering the party that the unions typically support and the party that the president is, it's not surprising that he would say a partisan statement. The economics part of it could be argued all day. We can't prove that it does benefit. No one can prove that it doesn't benefit. But it is part of that economic, that environment that we want to create for the businesses to want to create here and want to grow here.
So are you agreeing that it is, because we can't determine whether there is an economic benefit, that it is more about politics than it is about economics?
No, it's about the freedom of whether we still have the freedom of association granted by the U.S. Constitution, First Amendment. I believe that First Amendment right has been whittled away. To the point that we know the courts say that forced unionism is not a violation of the First Amendment, but we still believe that the principle of freedom of association is something worth fighting for. And I know, speaking to many of my colleagues in the House, that is what this was all about for them.
Right. Finally, Representative, do you think that it's fair that in the United States under current law, an employer can force you to join an organization as a condition of employment, and there's nothing illegal about that? But under Michigan law now, a union can't compel someone to be a member of a union as a condition of their employment?
We believe that's the case. Otherwise, why would the opposition be fighting what we've just done?
All right, Rick Olson, Michigan House Republican who voted for the right-to-work measure yesterday, which passed in the Michigan House 58-52. Representative Olson, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
He's certainly sincere, Representative Olson. We'd love to hear what you think about that debate. But there's also a debate about yesterday's conversation. Is sincerity dead? Has irony gone too far?
I'm Anna from New Jersey. I don't think sincerity is dead, but I do think that etiquette and courtesy are almost dead, which means that people can't really express any sincerity they might have very well. I also think irony is overrated and generally misunderstood.
Thanks for your thoughtful responses at 877-8-MY-TAKE or weigh in at thetakeaway.org. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.